Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Missed the first hour, talked a little Gruden, talked a little Patriots, a little bit of football, some other stuff, mentioned some hockey. That hockey bet I mentioned is minus 175, by the way, for the plus one and a half. So, if you want to get in, you know the number. Let's have some fun this hour. We'll have RJ Bell at 5:30. So, also want to mention again that the Greyhound appearance we've been promoting all week will not be happening tomorrow. It's been rescheduled. I will not be there. Apologizing in advance. I had nothing to do with it. So, we will be getting back down there, though. So, we appreciate those guys. All right, 713-780-3776. And I think it was Lance on Twitter said, speaking of the end of Brady's career, what do you see him doing after coach, commentator, or just be part of the Patriots organization? I would not be surprised if he didn't just disappear and write more books about his fitness and maybe get involved in some other businesses. I think he'd be a good commentator. From what I've heard of him on those Monday night games, where the things he does with Jim Gray, I think he'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't anticipate. I kind of get the feeling he's one of those guys that sort of wants to disappear.
Yeah.
And just, you know, sell stuff, start businesses, maybe get out of the spotlight a little bit. But I don't know. He may want to do that. You know what? The last thought on Gruden here before we move on. The one thing I've noticed about him doing broadcasting, he seems a lot happier. And even just seeing him out and about Super Bowl week and things like that, always smiling, always in a good mood. That was not him as a coach.
Well, but sometimes you they throw an offer out at you and you're like, well,
yeah, I'd rather be miserable and make $10 million a year.
Yes.
So, oh well. 713-780-ESPN. Somebody wants to know who replaces Gruden on Monday Night Football.
That's a good question.
That's a very good question. Yeah. And you've now lost Tirico and Gruden. To me, that was about as good a team as it was.
Had a good combo going, yeah.
So, it'll be interesting to see.
They'll probably ruin it and make it like Mike Greenberg or something like that.
that would be a hard listen. So, you want to talk about the games that this weekend?
Let's do it.
We have four of them. And two games tomorrow, two games on Sunday. And my computer's acting up all of a sudden. But we have, okay, I don't have the schedule in front of me here.
That's all right. I've got it.
You got it? Let's go.
Yeah,
you can lead this thing.
I will do just that. We'll start with Saturday's games. And I don't know. I just feel like this number is too big. Tennessee now getting 9 points against Kansas City in the early game on Saturday. I think Tennessee's bad, but I think Kansas City may be getting more love than they deserve here. Kansas City's still 32nd in the league against the run.
Yeah.
32nd. And what are the Titans going to try to do?
They're going to run the football.
Yeah. There's going to be swirling winds. It's going to be a run fest. And Kansas City's the worst run defense in the NFL. And they're also 29th in the league in red zone offense. They're struggling to score touchdowns. So I think 9 points is just too many. I don't love Tennessee here, but that 9 points, I can't not take that.
I'm with you. I don't love it, but I could, because I could see Kansas City running away. But I think you're right. They're good. Tennessee's going to be able to run the football, and that's what they do. The only thing, and Jerry brings this up in his article on SportsMatt, which you should check out. Marcus Mariota's road split, 5 TDs, 11 interceptions this year. So,
well, again,
and 30 mile an hour winds.
Again, so, how much do you think they're going to be throwing the ball?
Hopefully, not too much. I mean, honestly, if you're Tennessee, that's not how you're going to win the football game.
Right.
If you get behind and you have to start throwing, it's going to get
up. Yeah, well, that's the problem anyway. But
and that's pretty much almost every one of these games, frankly, with the exception of Rams, Falcons.
But it looks like there's going to be, I don't know if it, no DeMarco Murray. Looks like it's basically he's out. Yeah. But they're lucky because they happen to have one of the better number two running backs out there in Derrick Henry, who I feel like is a solid guy to fill in. So I think he'll do a fine job. He caught the ball out of the backfield last week. He ran fine. He's going to do okay, I think.
What do you feel about the total there?
Gun to head, I would go under because I think it's going to be a the pace of the game is going to be fast because both teams are going to be looking to run the football a lot and they're going to try to get out of there. So yeah, I think it's an under.
All right, Falcons Rams, Rams -5.5, total 48.
I'm all over the Falcons here. I don't understand this number, honestly. Like, I look at all the advanced stats and metrics that I normally use, and these teams are they're pretty close. And if this were on a neutral field, and it were on a neutral field, I would have them as a pick.
Yeah.
So
you're getting points.
I'm getting points, 5.5, and
which should be 2.5. And that's right. That's if you give
and
the
that's
Rams
if you give them a full 3.
Yeah, which I don't know if I do for that home field.
So I've got an experienced quarterback versus an inexperienced quarterback. I've got an experienced coach versus an inexperienced coach. The Rams are missing their best cornerback. The one metric where the Rams had a massive difference, a massive advantage over the Falcons was special teams. The Rams are one of the best special teams in the league. The Falcons are one of the worst. Well, now the Rams don't have Greg Zuerlein. So they've got a kicker who missed half of his field goals, or maybe all of his field goals his first tryout. They're in bad shape there. I don't know. Maybe I'm going overboard with how much I like the Falcons here, but I like the Falcons quite a bit at +5.5, and I took some money line at +210.
Well, as you know, I'm usually very skeptical about the Falcons. I like them here a lot at 5.5. So I don't know if that makes you feel better or worse. I also like the over 48. I think that there's going to be some points scored in this game, and so I like over 48, and I like Falcons +5.5. Here's another one where the number has just gotten ridiculous. Jaguars now -9.
It's too much.
I can't. Yeah, I have to take the Bills at that price.
Yeah, I mean, again, listen, I'm not crazy about Buffalo here, and I don't know if I'm going to play that particular number. That's the last one that I left off because I felt, you know.
Yeah,
I felt like that
number's moved so much. I think it's going to keep going.
It might. Like, once they officially rule McCoy out, if it gets to double digits, I'll play Buffalo.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think Buffalo has any chance of winning without him. But I don't think there's going to be a lot of points scored in this game, and but that's why I've got under 39. I think Buffalo's going to have a hard time. You know, if the other thing I almost played was team total under.
Yeah,
Buffalo's was at 14.5.
Man,
I don't know. They're getting that. I mean, it's a.
Can I throw some numbers at you?
Sure.
From this website that I use? Since 2001, road underdogs entering the postseason on less than a 2-game win streak. So basically, they went 1-1 coming into the playoffs, right? Less than a 2-game win streak. 13-39 straight up, 20-30-2 against the spread. And if you go to teams that are catching more than a field goal, how about this? 12-23-1 against the spread.
The teams that are getting more than a field goal
are
underdogs?
The underdogs are 12-23-1 when they come in on less than a 2-game winning streak. So, just worth throwing out there.
Yeah.
And then some interesting stats in Jerry's story that I wanted to share from this game. about Blake Bortles. You know how we feel about Blake Bortles and how you don't want him to have to win a game for you?
Right.
In the first half of games, 13 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Second half of games, 8 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. QBR in first halves, 96.0. That's elite. Closing 30 minutes, 72.4. So, and that just goes to show what we've talked about the Jaguars all year. If they have the lead and can run the football, they'll beat you.
Yeah.
But if you have to rely on him to come from behind, you're probably in a little bit of trouble. All right.
Want to keep going, or are we?
Yeah, but what do we want to do here, John? Why don't we save the other two games for the next segment?
Okay.
Is that cool? John, are you okay with that?
Yeah.
You don't sound okay.
Hashtag not now.
That was kind of a half-ass.
When we say the other two games, we're talking about Saints-Panthers and the national championship game? Or are we going to just save the national championship
game? I think we'll save the national championship game.
We should probably just bang out that Saints-Panthers game here.
All right, well, let's bang out the Saints.
I love the Saints in this game. I hear all the time, oh, it's really hard to beat a team 3 times in a year. Well, sometimes you just match up really well against a team, and I think that's what's happening here. Drew Brees had his 2 games combined against the Panthers, the best passer rating against any team other than the Bucs, who have the worst pass defense in the NFL. Drew Brees has figured out this Panthers defense, and the Panthers have not shown a way to stop it. And let's say the Panthers do decide, you know what, we're not going to let Drew Brees beat us. Okay. The Saints have, they've got alternate methods. You may have heard of these running backs that they've got going right now. Mm-hmm. And the way Cam Newton looked last week, I don't trust him at all right now. I think the Saints win this. I think it's probably the biggest blowout of the week.
I'm on the Saints here, and I'm also on the over.
I'm on Saints minus 6.5 and Saints minus 3.5 first half.
Okay.
I think they get out early, and the Panthers are chasing all day.
I want to argue with you on some of these, but I really can't.
Well, because you're a smart man and I'm a smart man, and you don't. Yeah. It'd be foolish of you.
I want to make a case for the Panthers, and I've tried to make a case for the Panthers. I can't make a case.
I think they're the hardest team to make a case for, honestly. But, to beat the number,
right.
I think they're the hardest team to make a case for.
Right. But I guess I'm kind of, even though I shouldn't be based on those numbers I gave you, I'm probably on 3 of the dogs, and Saints are the only favorite that I would be on here. So, all right, there you go. There you have it.
Jesse said the numbers this weekend are so big, I teased and made them larger. All right.
I always say it's better to tease in the NFL than, because most of the time the spreads are so close.
Yeah.
And getting extra points is huge.
I played one tease, and it's in college football. And normally I'm not looking to tease over the 0 line, which we talked about that in our book a lot. But basically it boiled down to I wanted to bump up the total. So I made it to 50, and then I ended up with plus 2.5 for Bama. And I looked at the idea of moneyline parlay, Alabama, and then what it would cost me to get a 50 total.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was like – it was maybe 20 cents difference, and now I get 2.5 points. So I said I'll just take – and plus it's easier to explain a tease, a 6-point tease, than it is to explain
right.
a moneyline parlay with a bought total.
All right. Hey, guys. Got to tell you about Gulf Greyhound Park. We were out there yesterday. It was a lot of fun. And come on out and join the party. 25th anniversary of the track. They'll be racing through into February. And this is a short meet. So if you want to see live Greyhound racing, which is a lot of fun, you need to go out there Sunday and Wednesday at noon, Thursday and Saturday at 6 p.m. Go by and check them out. And we'll be making another appearance out there. They're going to have food trucks, exciting racing action from some of the greatest Greyhounds bred in Texas and across the nation. And I will not be out there tomorrow, but we're going to reschedule that and have the show out there again. It's in Lamarck. You can't miss it. Heading down 45, right off 2004 down there. Very easy to find. And go and get your Greyhound on now while you can, because this is the only time you're going to have live racing now for a couple of years. And they're so much fun to watch in person. They got stuff to do for the kids. Check them out at Gulf Greyhound Park. Watch, wager, and win at Gulf Greyhound Park. They're off to the races live. Come on,
Get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink. Go to culturemap.com.
Hey everyone, a huge weekend in sports is coming up, and if you've been looking for an online sports book where you can play all the games, then pull out your phone and Shazam this commercial right now using the Shazam app for exclusive offers from BetDSI.com. BetDSI is giving away a free $25 wager if you use promo code SBG25. Or simply just Shazam this commercial right now. You'll get instant access to register, play, win, and get paid on everything from football to reality TV. If it moves, DSI puts odds on it. So Shazam this commercial right now for instant access to BetDSI.com and get a free $25 wager on the house and 100% extra bonus when you deposit. Use your sports knowledge and love of the game to make some extra cash. Shazam now or use promo code SBG25 to get your free wager and start winning today at BetDSI.com.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. I'm just looking at Houston Transtar here. If you're on I-10, you're totally screwed. It's nothing but red.
Both ways?
No, going outbound. So, and then 610 loop, of course. West loop, forget it. And 59, a lot of red. And then over on Beltway 8, there's an incident. Over Beltway 8 and 225. So avoid that at all costs. So, John, are you guys doing a podcast this week?
We did one yesterday.
Did you?
Yes, sir.
What did you talk about?
We talked about our top movies of the year that we were, our favorite movie of the year, some of the movies that we were looking forward to coming up this year, and we went into a couple of, we went into changes at DC.
Okay. So what was your favorite movie of the year?
Thor Ragnarok.
Okay. Tell them what the name of the podcast is and where they can find it.
Comic Cast, and you can find it on iTunes and on podcastarena.com/comiccast.
Hashtag not now.
No, hashtag now.
No, not now, because we want them listening to us. They can listen to you later, pal. And a couple people asked us about Acing Racing 2016. Does it work for Greyhounds? The betting strategies certainly do. So please, if you want to learn how to make some plays, it's only $12.99, and it's an hour and a half, and you'll learn everything you need to know. So all available. Go to GalMediaPublishing.com. That's the easiest place to find it. Or you can go to PodcastArena.com or HoustonSportsAndStuff.com and just follow the links. It's very easy. And we're showing a guy how to do it yesterday.
Oh, and we also talked about Jodie Foster and Ridley Scott being grumpy old people. Yeah.
Okay. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. I know it's too early for this, but USA Today's already got its mock draft out now that Darnold and Rosen are going to be number one to your Cleveland Browns. Sam Darnold.
Oh, man, poor
Sam. His career's over.
Poor Sam. That's my guy. I don't want to see that happen.
See, Josh Rosen's always been kind of my guy just from a talent standpoint. I just wonder if he's too much of a knucklehead off the field.
I don't think you think he's going to get in trouble?
He's really one of those guys that the more he talks, the more you think, I don't know if this is a guy that's going to lead my team.
I don't know. I kind of liked what he said about players skipping the bowl games.
Yeah, no, like I was okay with that, but I think some of the other, there's just some little red flags there that would concern me if I'm about to make him the number two overall pick.
Yeah.
But if you're going to keep Eli around, I like that plan.
Man. Poor Sam.
Yeah, dust in the wind for Sam Darnold's career.
What if I guess technically the Browns, they're in a spot where, like, if you consider Orlando Brown, Mike McGlinchey, and Connor Williams all top-tier offensive tackles.
Yeah.
There's basically, it's a lock that they can get a quarterback and a top-tier tackle. And then, with Joe Thomas back, you've got, your offensive line is looking right all of a sudden. You've got a long-term replacement for Joe Thomas whenever he goes. I mean, this could be a big draft for the Browns, but
if they do it right.
If they do it right.
Yeah, they have the Colts taking Saquon Barkley third.
That would be so Colts.
Yeah, that'd be a very Colts.
With all these offensive linemen, they take a running back. That would be very Colts.
And then they have the Browns taking Minka Fitzpatrick fourth.
Okay.
Broncos at five, Quentin Nelson from Notre Dame. The Jets at six, Baker Mayfield.
Ooh.
Feels high, but if you're the Jets, don't you have to do something?
Is it the Jets at six or Broncos have six?
Broncos have five.
Oh, okay.
Quentin Nelson, Notre Dame to them. Jets, okay. Baker Mayfield, quarterback, sixth. Bears take Calvin Ridley at eight, which leaves Cortland Sutton for the 49ers. Cortland Sutton to the 49ers. That'll give Garoppolo somebody to throw to.
Yeah, I think the Niners will be happy with either one of those two guys.
They have Orlando Brown is to the Dolphins at 11, and Mike McGlinchey to the Bengals at 12.
That's good value for both those teams,
yeah,
I would say.
I would say if they last to that point. But here's the other one. I was talking about Lamar. We were talking about Lamar Jackson earlier and how I'd love to get him in the third or fourth round and be a project. Cardinals, 15, Lamar Jackson. That would be the worst possible scenarios because you'd expect him to play right away.
Yep.
If you draft him 15th, he's supposed to be playing. So, Connor Williams of Texas to the Chargers at 17.
That's a good value, too.
Yeah. So, like Lions, Darius Geis at 20. I think I'd rather have him at 20 than I would Saquon Barkley at 3.
Yeah. Dude, I think Saquon Barkley's a good player. But he's not the kind of running back that I'm looking at as a top five draft pick running. No thanks.
Your Bills at 22, Josh Allen. That feels about right for him, though, that range. And Christian Kirk, they have.
God, I hope he's off the board.
They have Christian Kirk going to the Jaguars at 23. So Malik Jefferson to the Saints at 27.
Okay.
And that's really it.
All right.
Would the Texans have? Oh, never mind.
Yeah. Nothing. No.
And obviously we'll be doing a lot of this stuff as we get closer. But I would not be surprised if
the Bills have two first rounders, though.
Yeah, I only picked the one where they did the quarterback. Would you like to know the other one?
No, I want them to pick a better quarterback earlier.
Okay. Well, the problem is there's not one.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Baker Mayfield's gone at six. And what's your first pick?
I think it's middle.
No, 22 and 24.
Okay.
So they have Allen at 22, and then they have him taking the defensive tackle from Washington at 24.
Listen, put them together, trade up to number one.
Okay. And rescue Sam Darnold?
Rescue Sam Darnold.
Free Sam Darnold? Is that what you're trying to
freeze
do?
Freeze him.
So you want him going from Cleveland to Buffalo?
Yes.
I guess it's an upgrade,
It's an upgrade, yeah.
Slightly.
Give them the 22, the 24, and next year's first-round pick. They're getting three first-round picks for one. That's a good deal.
Yep.
Because you still got the fourth, Cleveland. You'll be all right. Get your quarterback there.
But you know how this goes. Somebody will trade up.
Somebody will.
Because there's just not enough of them. Everybody needs one. And we saw that last year. All three of the quarterbacks that went, teams traded up to get.
Yep.
So, and if you're the Giants, you've got to start looking ahead. So I don't know if you're trading out of two. So you're taking one of those quarterbacks. And maybe the Colts trade down at three.
Maybe.
So, because they easily could. Like, let's say you're the Jets and you want Baker Mayfield. Because those other two quarterbacks are gone. You trade up to the Colts at three to get ahead of the Browns taking a quarterback if they skipped one. Of course, you'd have one of those guys available at that point.
Foster says, curious what you guys think of the QB from Wyoming's potential. I think you just heard my noise when they said him to Buffalo.
Yeah,
I think he's got fine upside, but this was a pretty disappointing season for him, and I wasn't high on him to begin with, so I'm out on that dude.
He's one of those guys that has the size and all the things you're looking for from a physical perspective. It's another one. I just don't think he's going to be ready right away, and it's another guy who's going to wind up on a team that needs a quarterback right away. And that's one of the reasons a lot of these guys fail. Hey,
major accident at Grand Parkway and I-10.
Oh, okay, so that's why.
That's what the holdup is.
Okay.
Thanks, Randy.
All right. Texter says, just wanted to say, got our mattress over at Texas Mattress Makers yesterday, and it was amazing. And then said, you've all told us to tell you thanks, and then called me a name, which he usually does. So yes. I know they actually
sounds
went.
Sounds about right.
I know they actually went to Texas Mattress Makers. And guys, that's the experience you're going to get. You've all in the gang over there are great. And you can step into 2018 right now, get a new mattress. You got a New Year's resolution to sleep better? Well, if you don't, you should have one. And they're going to take the time to fit you to the right bed just for so you can sleep the best. And the cool thing is, man, they know everything about these mattresses. And they're going to get you to check them out, and you're going to find one that works for you. And you're going to save a bunch of money in the process. They've got showroom specials that not only fit your pocketbook but your body. Custom-fitted, handcrafted beds have never been more affordable. And, guys, you could go to a retail store, pay 50% more. You might even be buying a mattress that they bought from Texas Mattress Makers and then jack the price up on you. Don't do that. Go straight to the source. Go see Yuval and the gang. They're going to make the mattress right there and sell it to you directly. And guess what? Now they have a new location to go with the original. How about 5026 East 3rd Street in Katy? Texas Mattress Makers has come to Katy. New store out there. It's at exit 742 on I-10 West. It's right off the access road. So now you've got two great places you can go. 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood, your original, and 5026 East 3rd Street off Katy Fort Bend County Road. Texas Mattress Makers is the best sleep at the best price guaranteed.
ESPN 97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. I almost said, and we're back on the pregame line, because our guest is my co-host on the pregame line, founder of pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter, at RJ in Vegas. He is the gambling guru of the universe, our good friend RJ Bell. What's going on, Mr. Bell?
The wildly popular pregame line.
Oh, hey, man, that thing's blowing up. We're getting great traction from that. So,
do you think it's because AJ's not on?
Probably so.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah.
It'd probably be better if AJ was on, because you guys argue about more stuff.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. But, I mean, cracking him the whole show, that wouldn't be entertaining.
Oh, come on.
Has to be correcting him, huh? Educating him, right? I think that's a phrase you used the other day.
I've been trying for years. Yeah, some of it sticks.
I never learn.
Oh, so... Man, some of these numbers, and we talked about this a little bit on the show the other night, Chiefs at -9 now, and you get some really big numbers here.
Chiefs and both AFC games at 9.
Yeah. Let's start with that Titans-Chiefs game. I kind of want to get your thoughts on that and what direction that the people should be steered to here.
Well, I think a big macro point, and it applies obviously to both of the AFC games, I am more inclined in the playoffs to play a bigger favorite. Now, listeners of this segment know, or anything I do, that I don't bet many big favorites in the NFL. The reason I'm okay with it in the playoffs is one of the big detriments of a big favorite is removed in the playoffs, which is potentially a flat spot, where if you think during a regular season, hey, you got a game on the road, you're a small dog, oh, you're favored by 9, and next week you're going to be a 4-point favorite at home. Well, when are you going to be flat if you're going to be flat any game, right? So it's not like every big favorite is flat in the regular season, but some of them, a significant number, are. And that's part of the value of the big dogs. When the playoffs, the big favorites are motivated in almost every case, no matter what, and thus I'm not afraid to lay the lumber as much. I still don't want to do it, but I think that in both of these AFC games, I lean Kansas City, I lean Jacksonville. So which game do you want to start with?
Let's start with Titans Chiefs, because the one thing I would point out on the Titans side, Chiefs terrible against the run. That's one thing the Titans can do pretty well. If you start shortening the game, that makes a 9-point spread a lot harder to cover.
I hear you. I just think the Titans are so bad. I mean, we're used to – I mean, how? What would the line be Atlanta versus Tennessee? You know, so let's say two – you know, one wild card team from the NFC, one from the AFC. You know, I'm looking at Fezzik's power ratings right now, pulling them up as we're talking. And, you know, I'm actually going to need a minute on that. But, you know, the Falcons are going to be significant favorites in that game. And I think it's important to realize in the NFC, would it shock you if Atlanta makes the conference finals, like wins the next two games?
No.
But how shocking would it be if the Bills win the next two games?
It would be incredibly shocked.
So, and here's another way to think about it is the line was 6.5 in that Falcons game. That is my best bet. And it's down to, you know, 6 and even 5.5 in some spots. But the idea that a Tennessee or whatever is an 8-point dog or the Bills and the idea the Falcons were 6.5, I mean, it just really made no sense to me. And I think there's just this sense, oh, yeah, it's a wild card team. Oh, yeah, the home team's better. Oh, yeah, right around a touchdown, maybe a little more, a little less. You know, I think that both the Bills, well, I know both the Bills and the Titans have been outscored this year. So, and what's amazing about the Bills is they've been outscored by 57 points, and the Chicago Bears were outscored by 56. So on a point differential basis, the Bears are better than the Bills. And now you got McCoy out, and I don't do hot takes because I bet cold cash on my opinion. But what I'll say is this, is I think it's fair to say the most valuable running back in the last decade of the NFL is Shady McCoy right now with his Bills team. Now, why? He's probably one of the 10 or 12 best backs of the last decade. So, okay, but why would he be the most valuable? It's the emphasis of the run on the Bills. They just can't throw. I mean, imagine Taylor having to throw where he's thrown, you know, 38 times. That'd be a disaster. And then it's always relative, the value of any player, which is how good's the backup. And the Bills have a far below average backup running back situation. So if Shady is less than 100%, which I think is almost certain, I think that's super impactful. And I also think it's a situation where, well, first off, what do you guys think of the analysis so far?
I don't disagree with what you're saying about LeSean McCoy at all.
About anything I said?
No, not really. I said the other day, I think maybe besides Tom Brady, there's no one player more important to their team's offense than Shady McCoy is.
I think that's a fair way to say it. And if you think about it, how long has it been since a running back was more important to an offense than a quarterback?
It was Adrian Peterson, Vikings, Adrian Peterson. That's when they were, when they were solid with Adrian Peterson, he was the reason why. So it's been some time.
Yeah, and I would make the case, I know for a fact at the time Peterson was valued around 2 points. I've heard people talking about McCoy being worth 3 points in this situation. So, and again, there's some subjectivity to that. So let's stick with the Titans game for a second. You know, I think Kansas City right now is playing better than they did when they were 5-0. Now, I know that doesn't sound right, but they started out 5-0. They were number 26. Kansas City was on defense, yards per play defended, and they were a very good offense, right? Let's just say it that way. Well, since Andy Reid gave up play calling duties, which was before the Jets game, Kansas City scored 30 points a game. So you'd have to say the offense is about equal to the early season. Now, the defense was number 26 early season, the first 5 undefeated games on yards per play. And now the defense is top 10 the last 5 games. So, I mean, I know stats don't tell the whole story, but I think Kansas City is playing really well. I know this is a home team in the last 2 seasons. So, you know, 8+8+ playoff games, that they've allowed more than 21 points once. Now, this is the NFL, right? It's 20. If you give up 24, it's not a horrible thing. And they have only once given up more than 21. And the Titans, the last 10 games, 10 straight, they've scored 24 or less. So it feels like we know where the top line, and you never know, right? But the Titans feel like they're going to score about 17, if history tells us anything. So, I mean, is Kansas City going to put up the same 30?
I don't see any reason. I tend to think they wouldn't. I've heard a couple of people say that the Chiefs are better now than they were at the beginning of the season. And I disagree, because I looked at the beginning of the season, I look at the schedule they played, and they won at New England. They beat the Eagles. They won at Houston when Deshaun Watson was playing. They've beat literally no one in the last 4 weeks. No one that's worth respecting. They won three home games: Oakland, the Chargers, and the Dolphins. And then they won
the Chargers.
At Denver.
Hold on a second. The Chargers in a must-win spot, almost, or you know, let's say a borderline must-win at the time. The Chargers were like the seventh or eighth best team in the league by most power ratings.
Well, who did they finish? The Chargers finished behind the Titans in the AFC wildcard race. Well, I mean, I think those teams, you can throw them in a bag, and they're about the same.
You know, I tell you, AJ, I thought you were learning when you agreed with me in a blanket way. Now you're taking a hard left. So all we have to do is look at the record then. It seems like we should quit our jobs.
No,
they should get the USA Today.
The Chargers game late was clearly the best win they had, but I'm not looking at it. Was that Chargers win more impressive than the Patriots on the road, the Eagles, or the Texans with Deshaun Watson? In fact, in the first five games, they beat the Chargers then at LA. So I would say those first five wins were way more impressive than the last four.
But that's not the question. This is almost back to the debate in the playoffs. Is it the best season or the best team? You're right. If we were somehow in some convoluted college football playoff style trying to assess which five-game run was more impressive, the first five or the last five, no doubt the wins were more impressive the first five. The question is, which were the better team? And you can only beat the teams you play, right? How can they beat anyone else? Those were the teams they played. And statistically, now I think you make a good point. Let's adjust the stats a little bit for the quality of opposition. But even if you do, the defense is better. That's unequivocal. So the only question is, do we just dismiss the 30 points per game? And if it was just an arbitrary, like, oh, they're going to be cold the middle six games, but the last five and the first five, they're real good, and we're going to kind of say the last five are the most important because it's the last five, I would more say, you know, you're right, let's blend the season. But remember the stats for the whole season. But remember, is Andy Reid, before that fifth game, the five games to end the season, gave up play calling duties. And the offense, remember, from the Steelers game all the way to that Bills game that was right before Andy Reid gave up the play calling duties, I mean, the Kansas City offense had a problem. And he gave up the duties, and now it's 30 points a game for five games. It's not one or two. So if we agree that the stats are better statistically, even if you adjust for strength of schedule on defense, and they're putting up 30 no matter who it is they're facing.
RJ, the first five games, 42 against New England, 27 against Philly, 24, 29, 42. They put up 33 points a game in the first five.
So we're talking about the one field goals.
Why is all of a sudden 30 points a game like magical for this Chiefs offense? Because all of a sudden you took it away from Andy Reid, and now
30 points a game in a season leads the league, right?
It would, but they didn't do it for the whole season.
No, but they did. I mean, what I'm saying is right now we can't say, oh, if only the offense was better. Right? Okay. So even let's make your point that the offense was a little bit better early in the year, and let's say the strength of schedule was better early in the year. But the defense went from number 26 to, like, number 9. So, at worst, it feels like a wash. So, but maybe you're right. Maybe they're a smidge worse. But you know where Kansas City was ranked in our Vegas rankings after week 5?
Oh,
number 1.
Number 1, yeah. Maybe we're up there.
So, right now, I think if you ask most people, they're going to say Kansas City is 7, 8. And I think Kansas City might be 3 or 4. And that's my point. I think they're underrated right now.
The only reason why I say I like Tennessee in this game with 9 points is because I think this is going to, because of the weather, it's supposed to be swirling winds in Kansas City. Clearly, the Titans want to run the football. That's going to be their goal because the Chiefs can't stop the run, and that's really the Titans' only offense right now is running the football. So I think it's going to be a shortened game, which that's where I feel like those big numbers, you give me 9 points, I feel like I've got a good chance of hanging in there for that.
You know, a lot of people agree with that thinking. Now, here's the other side of it, though, is if it's the fourth quarter and Tennessee's down by 7 and they haven't really moved the ball, you know, let's say it's a low scoring game, like you said, what happens? At a certain point, they got to start throwing. And to me, in a weird way, if you like Tennessee, I think you might look at the money line. Obviously, it's a bigger payout, right? And it's not going to win as much. But I think, and we can segue to the Jacksonville game, because I think there's the same logic, which is if Jacksonville gets the lead, they tend to grind teams down. And I make the case that with a 10-point lead, Jacksonville is one of the three best teams in the NFL. I think down by 10, Jacksonville's a below-average team. And why is that? I think it's fairly obvious if you're a fan, is Jacksonville runs the ball exceptionally well. So they're up by 10, they're running. On defense, they have the best pass defense in the NFL. And if they know the other team has to throw, forget about it. But if they're down 10, they don't get to run. The other team's running, which are not as good stopping the run on defense, and Blake Bortles is having to take the game on his shoulders. That sounds like a bad situation. So not that Kansas City's that bad like that, but I think Kansas City's a similar team. They're a front-running team, and I think Tennessee is going to have a big problem playing from behind, and I think Buffalo has a big problem playing from behind. So when you take the 9, you're pretty much assuming Tennessee's going to be down 7 at some point. And if so, how much do you want to have on Tennessee throwing from behind? Mariota, there's only 4 quarterbacks in the NFL with more interceptions than touchdowns, and he's one of them.
Well, the Bills, I haven't decided if I'm going to play that +9 or not, but I do like the under in that game. I think 39, because I don't think there's going to be much scoring done in that game. I think these are two solid defenses. The reason Buffalo's in the playoffs is because of their defense and because they run the ball, which they're not going to be able to do. I think the Bills have a hard time scoring 14, but I don't think the Jags can run it up on Buffalo's defense.
Well, again, it's one. I mean, if you look at Tennessee's margin of victory, they've extended leads. And again, listen, I'm not betting. I'm betting one game. I'm betting the Falcons. But, you know, I have a number of shows that I do very specific picks that get tracked. And my 3 picks this week, Falcons and both the favorites in these games, Jags and Chiefs.
All right. Curious your thoughts on this Saints game. I would say the Falcons is my favorite. I'd say probably next is the Saints -6.5. I've seen this show before. I've seen Drew Brees dominate this Panthers defense twice. And if the Panthers do adjust, I think the Saints will be able to run on them. I just feel like sometimes one team is just clearly better than the other. It's sort of a I got your number situation, and that's what I feel about this team. And Cam Newton's last couple of appearances don't give me much hope for the Panthers.
You know, we do our Dream Preview, which is a podcast with Podcast One, and we do NFL Edition and College Edition. And I'm not sure I'm proud of this. We did an hour 50 on the college championship game. So one game, an hour 50, me and 3 professional batters, round table. And in NFL, we did like an hour and a half on the 4 games. So a lot of deep dives there. But one of the topics, and you can check on my Twitter at RJ in Vegas for those links, but one of the topics we talked about was if you go back to Brad Johnson winning with the Bucks and look at the Super Bowl winners after that, you could make the case with 2 debates, and I don't want to bother with the debates right now because I think it's so close. If it's on one side of the line or the other, it doesn't really matter, that every winning quarterback of the Super Bowl was a top 10 quarterback. And I mean specifically, if they had held a draft the day after the Super Bowl, the quarterbacks would have been drafted for a 1-year draft. So let's forget age for a minute because that doesn't really matter when they're playing that 1 year, is almost everyone, if not every one of those quarterbacks, would have been drafted in the top 10. You've got the obvious, you know, Brady and all that. The only 2 questionable ones was Flacco the year they won it. Now, obviously, forget about Flacco now. It's a different quarterback. But back then, I would make the case he was just in the top 10, but we could debate that. And then the debate would be Peyton Manning with the Broncos. Statistically, he was well out of the top 10. But once again, I thought his ability on third and six to call a certain player, whatever, put him in there. But let's say he's on the board or two. Is in the NFC, and let me ask you, AJ, who do you think meets that criteria that if they drafted for 1 year next year, so age doesn't matter, is which of the quarterbacks in the playoffs would be in the top 10 in the NFL, in the NFC side?
Next year?
Yeah. If the day after the Super Bowl,
I had to bet on one of these teams' quarterbacks to be a top 10 quarterback next year, I'd bet on Matt Ryan.
Okay, I agree with Matt Ryan. And is he the only one? I mean, you don't think Drew Brees is in the top 10?
Next year? I mean,
For one year?
Yeah, I guess. But I'd feel more confident about Matt Ryan because I know Drew Brees' wall is coming eventually. And the Saints,
no, I agree, but it's a one-year horizon.
The Saints are also moving closer and closer to being a run-dominant team for good reason because they found a couple special players.
But if it's third and 12, late in the game, you want Matt Ryan before you want, let's say, Jared Goff.
Yes.
I do, too. And I want Drew Brees. So my point is, Cam Newton could be the debate, and I don't think Cam gets in the top 10. So if you look at Cam, last nine games, he's thrown for less than 175 yards. Now, think about this. Check that, 185 yards. 185 yards. Now, that's less than 200, right? So think about it. 185. We're not talking about a running back, a passer. In nine games, he's only thrown for over 185 yards twice. So this is an intensely heavy run team now with Carolina. So I think Cam's probably not in that top 10. So we've got the number 3 seed and the number 6 seed that are the two teams that have a quarterback that would fit into the historical profile of being able to win a Super Bowl. To me, that's pretty amazing to think there's four teams in the NFC, including the top two seeds, that don't have that. I mean, and over in the AFC, I don't even think it's a debate, right? It's only Big Ben and Brady.
Yeah.
So the idea that out of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league, only four of them are in the playoffs, I mean, I don't think we've seen that in a long time.
That's RJ Bell. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. RJ, quickly, you like the Falcons. I think we're all in the Falcons here. Give the people some reasoning from your perspective, because we've talked about that game a lot today.
And I'll tell you this, is I'm going to just take my 90 seconds or whatever to do a little bit of a deeper dive here, because I do honestly respect your audience so much that they're interested in those deeper dives. Is the reason with the Falcons, it's about the quality of their stats relative to their wins and losses. And whenever the stats say one thing, in this case, it says Atlanta is a really, really good team, tied for second net yards per play, is when the stats say one thing and the one loss record says another, wise guys tend to trust the stats. And what makes the Falcons number even more amazing, if you look at the strength of schedule of the top 15 net yards per play teams, so about the top half of the league, but the top 15, only two of the 15 have a strength of schedule in the top 10. Meaning, if you have a tough schedule, your stats usually are below average. And if you have an easy schedule, it's much easier to have your stats be above average. That makes sense, but to the degree that that's the case is shocking, that only two of the top 15 teams are in the top 10. And those two teams, the Saints, who are number one, and they had a top 10 tough schedule, and the Falcons. So not only are the Falcons better statistically than their record, when you add in how rare it is for such a tough schedule to result in such good statistics, and the Falcons have the fourth toughest schedule in the league, I think Atlanta's just an underrated team. And lastly, I think Jared Goff is not as good. I think right now he's an inexperienced Alex Smith. I mean, he's a game manager. And this is the last stat I'll give you guys. In the fourth quarter, when the game is on the line, and specifically when the game is tied or down by seven or less, Goff has played really, really poorly. He's completed only 43% of his passes, and his yards per attempt is about 33% less, a third less than his normal stats. So when they've got the lead and they're running those play actions with that great running back, hey, he's upgraded a ton since last year. But when it's third and 12, he has not played well this year. And now it's his first playoff game against the team that made the Super Bowl last year. I think the Falcons' best bet of the week.
I agree with you. So does AJ. How about that?
Hey, all right. Hey, AJ's learning.
Give me a one-word answer on who you like, Alabama or Georgia.
Pass.
Okay.
Okay.
You did 2 hours on this, I thought.
That's what we've concluded. But I will give you the stat.
That's got to be the worst podcast ever. 2 hours.
No,
it's a pass. Don't,
hey, listen. Envy is not attractive, AJ. Here's what I'll say. Think back to 2009. Everyone, the listeners, can think where they were in 2009. And it was Tim Tebow against Nick Saban in Alabama, right? Obviously Florida in Alabama. And Florida was favored. SEC championship game. Since then, there's been 111 Alabama games counting this game. Alabama has been an underdog once since 2009. So regardless of which side you want, now's a good time to sit back and reflect that we can talk about Tom Osborne, Woody Hayes, the Bear. I think considering the changes in scholarships that's made it so hard to have a dynasty now relative to pre-scholarship changes, I think a second major point is a team like a Boise, a team like a Houston, a team like a Baylor can have so much more attention on TV than they did back in the 70s, and thus you can build a program at a school that wasn't typically so pedigreed. The idea that Saban has probably had the most dominant 15 years or so that we've ever seen is something I think very much worthy of not just, oh, he's the best coach today. I think you can make the case the best coach in college football history.
All right, that's RJ Bell. And RJ, I'll talk to you on Tuesday, and we'll look ahead to the next round of the playoffs and talk about all this stuff. Appreciate it.
You know, I was going to invite AJ on, but I think at minimum it's not next week.
All right, fair enough.
I think at one point I'll have to take a week off, and you and AJ can argue for an entire hour.
Oh, fun. That's a good one. He might come out demoralized.
All right, man. We'll
Thanks,
see
guys.
Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew. Message.